welcome to the USEA's official podcast. Our topic today is licensed officials, and joining us to explain the process is Jack Leary from Virginia, who is already a licensed official, and Andrew Temkin from California. So let's begin with you, Jack, and how you got involved.
Sure, Chris. I am actually a large R eventing technical delegate and a large R eventing judge, as well as an FEI eventing judge. I got into the officiating side of the business actually in 1976 as a technical delegate, and continued in sort of desultory fashion because I was actually more interested in the riding for most of the time and had a hard time balancing wanting to do both. In retrospect, I'm glad I got started early because it's given me that much more background later on. After 25 years competing, I found myself having collected a number of injuries, unable to compete really effectively. And I stayed with the officiating side because I really liked being involved in the sport. I'd done it all my life. Almost all my friends are in the event side of the horse world. And I wanted to stay as a part of it and hopefully give something back for all the years that I spent taking from the sport.
And we are going to talk about why people should become involved in the sport as a licensed official. But let's turn to Andrew now, who is in California. Andrew, you're a rider as well as someone obviously passionately involved in the sport, but wanting to become an official and a technical delegate yourself.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. So just going back by just a little bit way of background, I've ridden up through the levels and competed, and had then also been interested in the administration of the sport, and had spent a number of years on the board of the USEA, and was also on the USEF technical committee, and have friends with a number of competitors as well as event organizers. And I realized from my experience and looking at sort of the landscape of where things were with respect to the health of our sport, that there's a generation of people that I rode and competed with who still compete, and it's they still enjoy the competition. However, there's somewhat of a lack of people interested in pursuing the officiating aspects of our sport. And I think about the sport as being a tripod, or it's maybe a four-legged stool, where you have the riders, the events, the organizers, and the officials. And without the officials, I think that the health of our sport is in jeopardy. And as a member of the board, we talked about this a lot, and I heard about it, but with a little bit of stepping back from everything and from being involved in the administration side, I could appreciate it much greater. And, it's a great way. I looked at it as a great way to stay involved in the sport while I didn't and don't currently have a horse to compete. The time was right, and I'm currently pursuing my technical delegate licensure, and I'm also thinking about the judge side of things as well.
Well, Jack, you've been a licensed official for a while, and this is a topic, obviously, that is of concern to the sport, and probably not just in the U.S., but I think worldwide, that it really does depend on volunteers, doesn't it? And it depends on people stepping up to become officials to sustain it over time, and with new generations as well. It's encouraging the younger generations to give back to the sport and realize that that is the framework for the future. Why don't you speak then, Jack, to why people should become involved? And I'll let you and Andrew discuss this, since you're both at different stages in that licensure.
Sure, Chris. And Andrew, I'll be interested to have you chime in, because you are very much the kind of the kind of background that we're trying to entice into the officiating side. We need to have people with a strong riding background, with critical thinking abilities, and most of all with motivation to really go out and be good at this. The officiating function is one of those things that's done best when it's noticed the least. And I think if we finish an event with the riders not even knowing the names of the officials, we've probably done a good job. But for most of us, we do this because we like it. You know, the money is nothing to get excited about. No one's going to make a living at it, but it's a fun way to be involved on the inside of the sport and to really make a difference in how well each competition is carried out. We have the ability to impact safety in a very big way. We have the ability to impact all of the sort of logistics of the day to make it possible for professional riders to ride a lot of horses at one competition and for amateur riders to go home having had the kind of fun weekend that they're looking for. And I think it's, you know, if you're looking for a way to really be involved in the sport and to have, you know, some of the thrill with maybe a little bit less of the risk, the officiating side is a good way to do it.
I echo Jack's comments. I mean, I think that, and I think that it's, you know, the way he coined, you know, I think it's a successful event when you don't know who the officials are. I mean, I think that that's absolutely right. You know, I think that having, you know, having the experience of having ridden as well as the experience of having been in business and been outside of and seen how things are done outside of the horse world, I think that you can come to this with a certain knowledge and bring, you know, your experience to bear to make, you know, basically to make things better. You know, there's an expression like all politics are local. And I think there's nothing, you know, no better way to affect the sport than to, than at the event to actual level, you know, from whether it be, you know, a grassroots starter event all the way up to, you know, an international 3-day event at the highest level. I think that the same issues of making the event, you know, safe and the best that it can be for the riders to, you know, assist with the administration of the rules as they may, you know, may be applied from the technical delegate or from the ground jury perspective, and ensuring that there's a level playing field and that you know, you get, you know, the riders and the horses have, you know, the best experience possible, and that, you know, that the other people associated with the sport too, whether it's the organizers or volunteers, also have a positive experience, and that, you know, people come back and want to do it again. I mean, that's, you know, at its core, what our sport needs is people continuing to want to do it, to want to be members, and not have negative experiences. It's something that the sport in the United States really can't afford. So, you know, being a licensed official allows you to have a role in all of that. And I think that, you know, and as I've gone through the program, I mean, the experience having ridden and been around horses, been around the stables for as many years as I have and competing is really something that is incredibly valuable. And it's something that, you know, it's very difficult to teach officials, I think, certain measures of horse judgment or course design or how things will ride. Whereas, you know, based on your own experience, having ridden, you can look at something and say, yeah, that, you know, that feels or that looks right. And that's really valuable, and it's something that's hard to teach, and it's why people who, you know, are experienced horse men and women are so valuable to the program and to becoming, you know, the next generations of officials, so that you know, not only can they continue to compete at events they're not officiating, but so that the entire next generation of riders have somebody who's going to be there to officiate. If you look at a lot of our top officials, they have been doing this for a number of years. And, you know, unfortunately aren't going to be there forever. So the question is, you know, if not them, who then? And, you know, it might not be the most glamorous job at the event, and it might not be as much fun as riding, but at the same time, it's incredibly valuable, I found. And, based on my experience, something that I think that, you know, a lot of people can be good at and it would find very worthwhile.
It's funny, Andrew, you bring up a couple of interesting points. There are three things that are really, to me, particularly enjoyable about officiating at events. One, and this is not in any particular order, I enjoy working with the riders. You know, the riders are friends, and it's fun to make sure that they finish the weekend having had a really good competition. Number two, I've developed more respect for the horses watching them than I ever had riding them, which may be a comment on my riding more than anything else. But watching thousands and thousands and thousands of rides, it's just amazing what the horses can do. And it's a real thrill over the weekend to watch the horses figure things out and show the athletic skill to negotiate the issues. And the third thing is dealing with the other officials. You make very good friends. You're involved for a weekend very intensely with a group of people, and it's an odd sensation. We see the same people weekend after weekend. It's sort of the same people in a different spot. I was in Georgia at an event a couple of months ago, and I was sitting chatting with the same people I'd seen 2 weeks before at a different event, and was going to see 2 weeks again on the other side of the country. But it's sort of fun to, you know, have this group of friends you see and work with, and in some cases work very long hours and very intensely, but you get to make a difference to the horses and to the riders, and you get to work with people that you really enjoy being with.
For young people who are thinking maybe, well, is this something I can do? What does it mean in terms of time commitment? Why didn't you address that, Jack? Because, you know, people might be a little daunted by the obligation that this would mean to them to become a licensed official.
Well, that's an important thing, because we have evolved the training process in the last few years, and we are setting out this year on sort of a major revamp of the training in a way that hopefully will make it easier to get people into the officiating side and out in the field working. That said, the one thing that we cannot get around is the fact that judging is not the same as riding. And riding gives you a very good background, and seeing the jumps between the ears is, I think, a necessary prerequisite for being able to evaluate the correctness of a cross-country or show jumping course. But it's still a different process, you know, scoring a dressage ride as opposed to riding it. So there is some basic training that goes on. On the judge side, there's a four-day followed by a two-and-a-half-day training session that mirrors in some ways the USDF L program, although it's shorter than what they do. On the TD side, there's a four-day jumping training program, and everyone has to go through these programs in order to become TD or judge. What we're trying to do is to work out ways to get people then out into the field working when they have a strong enough competitive background that we think it will go quicker for them. We in no case want to dilute the quality of the officiating team. The U.S. officiating group is recognized around the world as among the strongest, and it's our goal, bringing in the next generation of officials, to upgrade, certainly not to weaken the pool. Andrew, I'd be interested to know how long you think it takes to go through the process for each of the two licenses you're working on.
Yeah, and thank you. You know, it really sort of depends on the timing of when the programs are being offered. You know, the training themselves, and I will reiterate what you said about the difference between whether you're wearing your TD hat or a judge's hat, but the difference between, you know, for example, the judge's hat, riding a dressage test and then actually evaluating a dressage test and scoring it in a consistent, you know, fair manner, applying the same standard and being able to translate what you're looking at into a numerical score as well as a comment is a skill. And, you know, I have, as a rider, I have newfound appreciation having gone through this program now for officials who do it and do it so well, because it's something that once you develop, I think, and continue to develop and hone, just like, for example, your riding skill. You know, that said, you do, I think the program is very valuable in starting to get your mind around doing that. And the thing that that you recognize with judging, whether it's judging the dressage or judging the show jumping, or watching cross country, is that things happen very quickly, and you don't have time to necessarily to, you know, you have some time to think, but you have to be prepared and pretty reactionary in what you do with respect to judging. So the training is, I think, is very valuable towards that. You know, in terms of the process, I think that the TD license you can receive your smaller TD license, you know, a little bit faster than the judge's license, just because of the way that the program is scheduled and the both the training requirements coupled with the apprenticing and other parts of the program. For example, going back to my experience recently with the TD licensure, you're committing basically six weekends, to achieving your license between the training, the testing, and then the apprenticeships. I think that is, it's workable with respect to, you know, a person's schedule, whether you try to do it all in one year, as I have, or you were to balance it over several years, which I know a number of other people have as well. It is doable, and it's doable while you're competing at a reasonably high level at the same time. And there are other aspects of the program which you can talk to, Jack, including the, you know, fast track opportunities that are available for the for riders that have achieved a certain result. That all said, I think that the, you know, being in the field and actually doing the work is really important and critical to the program, because you actually have to be out there and you learn. I mean, I have learned more in my apprenticeships than I probably did in my in the actual training class, because you see things happen in real time, and you consult the rule book, and you have to think through how the application of the rules should be made. And invariably, every time I've been in an event apprenticing with a technical delegate, something's occurred, and the technical delegate has said, I've never had that happen before. So the horses and riders manage to find new ways to challenge the officials in new and creative ways at all times. So
that's true. It's funny, Andrew. I remember Neil Ayer, an important name from the past, saying to me when I was starting out in this that after all the years he'd been in the sport, he never came home from an event without having seen something that never happened before. And I think that is the nature of the officiating side, is that we're always presented with something we haven't seen before. And that's what keeps it fun. You know, I like that part of the intellectual challenge. As far as the timing of the training process, I think you're exactly right. You know, somewhere between a year or a couple of years to really get through this, including the apprenticing. We are trying to shorten that up for people with a strong riding background. But we're dealing with a pool of people in the event world who understand instinctively the idea of thinking down the road. No one ever waits until their four-star horse retires to start planning for the next one. And we're all accustomed to looking at a process of 4, 5, 6 years. And I would say to people on the officiating side, this may not be something that you're planning to do this year or next year or the year after, but it is it's a 5 to 7 year process to get to the point, say, of officiating at FEI events. And young, successful professionals now should think about this as something that they're going to want to be doing in 10 years. And this is the time to begin doing it. People may not want to go out and officiate at 15 or 20 events this year, but if they, do one, do two, do three, I think you can make the case, as Andrew did, that this does help your riding. But it also means that 10 years down the road, you'll have a large R or an FEI license and be able to go out to the badmintons, the WEGs, the Olympic Games of the world, and officiate. And that's a fun thing to think about.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that in looking back at my own past, it's a little bit akin to getting a horse qualified. You know, you want to get qualified early and often. And it's not dissimilar that, if you begin the process on the earlier side, and I think that I'm actually late coming to it, but I did spend a number of years involved in the administration of the sports side instead of the officiating side. But it is something you can start the process and continue to maintain it, continue to, sort of, as you mentioned, officiate a few events a year, and then, continue to develop your knowledge base. And then, it's something that after the amount of experience and years of experience you've had in doing it, you can get to officiate, really at the fun events. At least I associate them as being fun events, whether it's the badmintons or the Lexingtons or the Wegs. So, and I think that if you look at the experience of those, those people that have risen up to those levels, that is very much the case. If you look at Marilyn Payne, one of the most successful judges, officials in the world. Marilyn's been an official for a number of years and did start very early, and has now, gotten to officiate, I think, at all of the four stars except for Adelaide. It's not an all or nothing proposition, but I think that if you're passionate about the sport and you're passionate about the direction of the sport, as so many people are, that are involved in it, it really is a great opportunity to make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, it things changed, and I thought I would ride forever until I spent 2 years on crutches, and I was very glad to have the officiating to fall back on as a way to be involved in the sport. And that's not to suggest that happens to everybody, but there is a point at which you do less competing, but not necessarily have less interest in the sport. And I think the time to start in the officials process is early rather than later in life, because then it'll be ready for you when you want to do it.
Well, finally, Jack, could you speak to the cost implications if someone's thinking of starting the process? What would this cost them in terms of, if they went over, say, 2 years? I mean, would it make any difference if you spread it out? What is the fee structure?
And we'll talk about this, say, for example purposes, if someone wants to become a small R eventing judge, which means they're allowed to officiate up as a member of the ground jury or as the ground jury up through preliminary level. Andrew, you can tell us probably what the training program costs better than I can.
I think that the program itself, I think that it is $400 for the training. I don't have the documents in front of me. I think it's $400 for the training, and I think that the testing is $300, and I can't remember the cost of the second dressage training if you were to do that. But if you were to be doing the let's say the judges training, you'd have the first dressage one, which I believe is the $400 fee. Then there's the jumping B and C program, which is, I believe, also $400. The testing, as I recall, was, I think, in the neighborhood of $300, and then there'd be a fee associated with the second dressage training. Relatively speaking, though, I mean, these are about the amounts of the cost of most entries right now currently at events with stabling in, most of the western part of the United States.
The apprentice thing can involve some additional travel cost and perhaps some overnight, but the apprentice work for the small R program can generally be done quite locally, and especially if you're looking to do this over a period of a couple of years, it can, in most parts of the country, can be done without extensive travel or extensive hotel time. But I would say altogether a couple of $1,000. Andrew, you think that sounds reasonable?
Yeah, I think that that's probably correct. I think that depending on, where you're located, if you're doing this from Hawaii, obviously it may be more expensive, but, most of the parts of the contiguous United States have a ready supply of events. And certainly if you're in the East, it could be, you're talking about just next door to your farm.
Yeah, I mean, compare it, for instance, to the USDF. The L program is a full year session. I believe the last person I knew who did it was $2,000 for the L program, and this was six 4-day weekends out of the year, and that is just for the L program. They then had to do another entire training program for the small R, as well as the test. We've come a long way in streamlining this process. We're going to go further. I'm of the belief that the apprentice process, and Andrew said this too, the apprentice process is in some ways more valuable than the classroom training. You need some of each. But the real world is the most education for the least money.
And finally, to give an understanding, when they do get their license and they're out there as a TD or licensed official, what the remuneration would be for them when they attend competitions, clearly the expenses would be covered.
There's a daily fee, and then typically the organizer pays all the travel, room, and board associated with the event. Everyone makes their own arrangement with the event, so it would be hard to comment on what people actually charge.
Right.
This is not going to make anyone rich, but it, you know, I call this my vacation fund.
A good way to look at it. Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
Sure, Chris, thanks. One of the final things that just to mention is that I think that if you go to the USEA's website and look under officials and education, or I think it's maybe under education, then officials in the drop-down menu, and then there's a manual basically that lays out this whole process. And it may seem somewhat daunting. It's been recently reorganized. I think it's actually quite a bit better in terms of how the process works. But there are great resources. You know, Nancy Knight at the USEA, or even anybody who's actually recently been through the program, myself included, who, you know, I'd be happy, and I'm sure Nancy's always happy to answer questions as to how this process works. It can be a little bit confusing and seem daunting, but it doesn't need to be. And, you know, there's certain requirements that you need to make to get into the program and to pursue it, which are not particularly stringent. And another thing to think about, I think, in advance before you go through the process, is there's nothing wrong with asking a TD at a recognized event if you can apprentice with them for a weekend. Virtually all TDs, I think, would probably be willing to do that, and, you know, get an idea as to whether or not this is something that you would be interested in. And see it from that side if you're somewhat on the fence. I think that once, you know, most people that are interested in the sport, once they see what it's like, you know, this is something they probably would consider doing and would want to be involved with.
If you have any interest in this at all, come to an event and sit with one of us. You know, spend an hour in the dressage booth, spend a couple of hours driving around in the golf carts you see us with. But spend a little bit of time with an official and see what this is all about. It probably isn't what you expect. And in many ways, it's probably more fun than you would anticipate.
Well, I think that's a good note to finish on. I want to thank you both, gentlemen, Jack Leary and Andrew Temkin, for joining us today and explaining how you can become involved as a licensed official. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris. Bye now.
Thank you, Chris.
And you can find more information as to how to become a licensed official on the website at useventing.com. I'm Chris Stafford, and until the next time, enjoy your eventing.